Good day, beautiful people. Welcome to the Total Disclosure Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about Jeffrey Epstein's flight logs, episode 2 of that saga, if you call it that. It's going to go around 4 or 5 episodes, if I'm not mistaken. I hadn't released this episode for a while because, as you probably know, I was a little bit busy editing the film. I'm trying to balance all my projects together, and it's going good. Film is going to be released this year as far as I'm concerned, and right now I could say it's finished in 20%, maybe less, maybe 15%. I mean, in average, to edit 1 minute of the film, it takes me 1 hour, so I'll probably need, I don't know, maybe 150 hours, and that will translate in probably a month or two. Also, just a general notice, because I've noticed that some people, when they used to send me a tip via to my bank, they put in the comments donation or something according to Total Disclosure. Never do that. If you're going to tip me, you don't need to even put anything. You can put thanks or, you know, nothing related to this enterprise, this podcast, my film. Financial entities don't need to know what is it about, because sometimes they use that against me. So just a general notice, 3 of my bank accounts got closed this week. So please don't send me funds to TransferWise accounts. They closed the account that was set up in New York. The other one was set up in London. And the other one was set up in Brussels, Belgium. And all of them were closed. So right now I appealed and I'm trying to get it reopened, but it's not looking good. I still have ways to collect funds. If you're interested, also, I'm offering a year-long package if you sign up directly with me by sending funds to an address I'll provide, a different method that is not Subscribestar. But you can still, you know, I like when people use Subscribestar to become a member of this podcast, because it's easier for me. It saves me time. I have a weekly newsletter on my website, and I also send my members that sign up outside of this website, I send them the episodes to their email. That's what I'm doing to kind of have a backup in case something happens here. You never know. Just for you to be aware that I have that backup. You know, thank you for subscribing. Actually, I'm very happy about the results. In the last week, it really picked up. I increased my subscribers in around 35% during the last week or 2 weeks. So that's very good. I hope I can increase that maybe 100% more by the end of the year. That's the goal. If not, I'm still very satisfied where it is right now, because right now, pretty close to covering my basics to be able to do this full time, which is what everybody wants. Some people agree that if I come back to my office work, I will have to probably cut down to 8 hours a week, which is not nearly enough for the film or anything else. So let's start with the flight logs. Today we start with number 27 on the list, I believe it is. And it's the turn for Claire Hazel. She's the president of, or was the president of, West Suffolk National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, or the NSPCC. As you probably know, most of these foundations that are built to help children are also used to traffic children, and worse. Nonprofit organizations like UNICEF, like the NYSPCC, which is the New York-based Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children in the United States, which, by the way, is now honored, and I say that mockingly, of course, honored to have the presence of Vicky Cornell as a trustee. What I clearly think about that position is that Vicky Cornell was awarded that seat as a thank you note for setting up her husband to be murdered. Why I say that? Because we all know David Geffen is a pedophile and a very powerful one at that. And he wasn't only Chris Cornell's employer via Universal Music Group. He's also the best friend of Lord Mandelson. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the British royal is the best friend of David Geffen, and he is also, you know, a very prominent member of the NSPCC, or was. I believe he's no longer officially associated with the nonprofit, but still, he worked in it for more than a decade. So Claire Hazel not only was sacked from the NSPCC, apparently she lives at the mansion where the film Eyes Wide Shut was recorded, the famous film that exposes satanic rituals and pedophilia, secret societies by the director Stanley Kubrick, one of the, probably the best director in history. He's one of my favorites for sure. And, you know, people, some people say that he was part of the club. I believe he was, but he was also trying to get out in a way, or, you know, whistleblow what was going on from the inside. And that's what ultimately cost him his life. Claire Hazel was also, quote, the babysitter of Maria Farmer when she was kidnapped by Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, when she was forced to stay at Lex Wexner's estate. She was introduced as Epstein's girlfriend at the time. Hazel is an interior designer who became the Countess of, and I'm going to butcher this, Ivac. I don't know how it's pronounced. That's in England. After her 2001 marriage with the fourth Earl of Guinness of the Bruin dynasty. She took 32 flights on Epstein's Lolita Express between 1998 and 2000, which included trips to his home in New York, Florida, the Caribbean, and New Mexico, according to the Daily Mail. Epstein accompanied Hazel on all but one of the trips aboard the plane per flight logs. Hazel was studying at Ohio State University in the 1990s, and reportedly had a modeling agency and an apartment in Columbus, Ohio, near the Wexner estate. She is described as being at Epstein's beck and call, saying how mutual plans would be canceled immediately if she was needed by Epstein and Maxwell. She is described as a woman who liked to have nice drinks, piles of cash, and nice outfits. Virginia Roberts, on one of her tweets, said about Hazel, quote, "You want names? There's two on this, Wendolyn Beck and Claire Hazel. They both had sexually abused me as a minor, and even though they're not Jeffrey Epstein's age type, they were with him as well. These two are just some of the older women in Jeffrey Epstein's orbit that serve a purpose. Wonder what that could be." Interesting post by Virginia Roberts Gouffre, trying to hint there that maybe, perhaps maybe, Claire Hazel was just another procurer for Jeffrey Epstein. It's very worrying that Virginia says this and Claire is linked to the NSPCC. She also hosted events for the nonprofit at Elpidine Hall, the lavish estate in Suffolk, owned by the Guinness family. And that's actually the place where the film Eyes Wide Shut was filmed. The state now operates as a farm, growing root vegetables and cereals on the 22,000-acre property. As you probably know, the Guinness family is linked by marriage to the Rothschilds, which branches out to the Hiltons, the Harveys, the Freuds, you know, a whole bunch of sick people. After these revelations, the NSPCC immediately sought to distance themselves from Hazel, and a spokeswoman told the Mail, quote, "had a local volunteer fundraising role within a small branch based in the West Suffolk area, and she no longer volunteers with us." Quote, "Maxwell and Hazel reportedly met in a bar where Maxwell introduced her to Epstein, and according to another Mail article from July 3rd, U.S. prosecutors want to have a chat with Hazel. According to the Sunday Mirror, describing Hazel anonymously, quote, the woman, now married to a multimillionaire, jetted between his homes in New York, the Caribbean, Florida, and New Mexico. She was among guests at his Zorro Ranch, where pictures of young girls adorned the walls and pinhole cameras were everywhere. Lawyers for Epstein's victims have asked to interview the woman, but she has always declined. Next on the list, we have Courtney Love. I gotta confess, I used to love Hung Internet. Live Through This, the album by Courtney Love. I believe it was the second album by the band Hole. Before that, I believe it was Pretty on the Inside. I'm not sure if they have another one. I believe there's a B-sides one. But Live Through This is a wonderful album. It was recorded, I believe, from 1992 to 1993, when Kurt Cobain was still alive. I don't know about the lyrics, but I know that the melodies and a lot of the music was composed by Mr. Cobain himself and Billy Corgan, the frontman for Smashing Pumpkins, as Courtney Love was also having an affair with the singer, which ultimately, I believe, destroyed Kurt Cobain emotionally and was one of the reasons why he wanted to divorce Courtney. And in the end, everybody knows the story. She didn't allow that divorce to happen because there was a prenup that she actually enforced herself before they married, because at the time when Kurt and Courtney married, Courtney had way more money than Kurt. Kurt was completely broke. And at the time, Courtney had a trust fund that her family left her, which she used to buy drugs from age 18 until pretty much the time she became famous. And the rest is history. Courtney Love invented this fairy tale that Kurt Cobain was a depressed, suicidal individual, just like Vicky Cornell did since 2017 and Talinda Bennington after her. It's really unfortunate that these women are able to fool so many people. Of course, Courtney Love now is not fooling most people. She is fairly talented, I believe. Well, she can play guitar really well, but honestly, her lyrics, some of her lyrics are really good. Her voice sounds really good on the records. Live, I've seen some atrocious presentations. I don't know if it's because she's high. Obviously, when a musician is strung out on drugs, they never perform the same. You can see that with Kurt Cobain himself. You can see that with, I'll give you another hard example, Scott Weiland. There are some performances out there that are really atrocious, despite him being one of the best frontmen. What was Courtney Love's involvement with Jeffrey Epstein? Well, this is the deal. Courtney Love is not as pristine as people think, or as she portrays herself to be. She's not clean, has never been. I mean, she's been sober for short stints, but sober life is not her kind of ordeal. She is a drug dealer for the celebrities. She has access to a lot of doctors. She has access to a lot of street vendors as well. She has been at it for 30 years, guys, or 40. She knows a lot of people. She managed to have a lot of people killed. After Kurt Cobain was killed, the detective that was on the case was also killed, who also dated Courtney after Kurt died. I believe the coroner is now deceased. Eldon Hawke, alias El Duce, was killed 1 week after passing a polygraph test stating that Courtney Love offered him, I believe it was 30 or 50 grand to blow Kurt Cobain's head off. Those words. He passed the test. That's featured on the Kurt and Courtney documentary from 1997, I believe it was released. Clearly, the Kurt Cobain case is something that I'm passionate about. It was the first case I researched in my life. I don't intend to work on it or do something about it. Maybe I will, because I love Kurt Cobain too much. And I would love to make a documentary myself, but I believe the best work regarding Kurt Cobain has already been done. And I would be probably just rehashing stuff by others. I don't really have much new to say besides that Kurt Cobain hinted that David Geffen was a pedophile, and I believe he wasn't happy about that. He also threatened Geffen to quit the band for many reasons. I believe it happened more than once. And I think David Geffen actually authorized for Kurt Cobain to be killed. I believe he would have felt wrong financially by Courtney Love had she killed Kurt Cobain, which she did. He would have gotten some payback from Love, and that didn't happen. Still to this day, the woman is protected. Courtney Love's father himself, Hank Harrison, he's a bit shady. Some people don't trust him. I believe he had a role with the CIA in the 70s or 60s. He used to tour with the Grateful Dead, and he tells people that Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain for sure. We don't even need that testimony to know that. So, in essence, Courtney Love was a procurer of new customers, new clients for Epstein to supply children to. I believe Courtney Love introduced people like James Franco and Jared Leto to Jeffrey Epstein, maybe even Marilyn Manson. She is clearly very friendly with Marina Abramovic, Naomi Campbell, Hillary Clinton herself. She absolutely loves Elton John. She's a piece of work. She's friends with all the pedophiles. She also attended Chris Cornell's funeral service, which nobody understands why, because she absolutely hated Chris Cornell, and I don't think Chris Cornell liked her at all. Courtney Love actually attacked Cornell on the media several times, put him down because, for shallow stuff like playing shirtless or having a mustache or stupid shit like that. So nobody gets why she was invited to that funeral service. I believe she was invited as a mockery. She was celebrating. She was smiling, flirtatious, just Courtney being Courtney. And she has to be the center of attention. She attended with Billy Idol, who is also involved in all of this. And, it's a shame. Frances Bean Cobain has been subjected to this woman. And it's a shame that she will probably never know true justice on this earth for what she did to Kurt Cobain and to Kristen Paff, the bass player for Hole, who she also murdered, in my opinion. Or she had someone else murder her. Some people believe it was Eric Erlandson, the guitar player for Hole, who at the time was dating Courtney Love as well, or sleeping with her, or I don't know. I don't really know how serious you can be when you date Courtney Love. What I do know is that the friendship between Courtney Love and REM singer Michael Stipe is very serious. They have been friends since she was married to Kurt. He's actually the godfather of Frances Bean Cobain. And there was a rumor, I don't know if it's true, that Kurt Cobain not only meant to quit Nirvana and the music business, but he intended to form a new band with Michael Stipe. I do believe that's probably a lie. I think Kurt Cobain wanted to get out and do his own thing, artistic thing, maybe paint, maybe poetry, anything but music for a while and just, enjoy his riches and enjoy his success because he earned it. And in the end, he was killed and somebody else enjoyed that success. And those drops of blood, sweat, and tears, of course. It's a miracle that Tom Grant wasn't assassinated. I admire the guy. He's a really good private investigator. He's a really good storyteller. He has been crucial in exposing Courtney Love, regardless of whatever any idiot that comes out on YouTube says, because the work speaks by itself. It's not a coincidence that Courtney Love was afraid of Tom Grant. We're talking about a viper that is not afraid of anybody but her, of course, satanic music cabal masters like David Geffen. Why do I say that about Michael Stipe? I have a lot of information about Michael Stipe having problems with pedophilia, and he's photographed with none other than Marina Abramovich. So by association, listen, I don't do this with everybody, but if you're photographed with someone like Marina Abramovich, I'm going to deem you evil, enabler, co-conspirator, ally, you know, whatever. The fact is, anybody who is around that woman should know what she is. And if you know what she is and you pretend to be her friend for whatever reason, even if you're pretending, it speaks very bad of you. I mean, it's as low as you can get, in my opinion. As far as Kearney's MO for killing people, well, she is known to drug people. So my guess is that Courtney Love provided some of the drugs that were supplied to Chris Cornell, because he only took like 2 Ativan pills when he died. But few people know that he also was giving a barbiturate substance that, you know, mixed with the Ativan, it really, really affects you. And it's not like he's going to get suicidal. He's going to get incapacitated to be vulnerable for an attack like he was attacked, because he had 9 broken ribs. So during the last concert in Detroit, you can see him. He's not the same Chris Cornell as a singer, as a performer. He's maybe a couple levels below his usual level, and it still was a decent performance. It speaks a lot about Chris Cornell's professional drive that he maintained during mostly all of his career. I don't really remember Chris sucking at a concert like others unfortunately did. Courtney Love's role served not only as a drug dealer for Epstein's clients and Epstein himself, because she, you know, drugged the children, drugged the girls, drugged the boys, made them easier to groom or abuse. She also provided a list of friends that she knew had pedophile tendencies, because she was Epstein's direct link to the rock and roll music world. She was Epstein's main link to that cabal. Just like probably Harvey Weinstein was Epstein's main link to Hollywood. So her modus operandi for killing is usually drugging her victims. Kurt Cobain was drugged with a dose that it's, I think, 3 or 4 times the lethal dose for a heroin addict, even one that had his tolerance. So in essence, the second he would have gotten that shot, he would have been dead. People argue he wouldn't have been able to take that shotgun and shoot himself. Also, there were no prints on the shotgun. Courtney Love's close friend was the coroner. He later was killed or died mysteriously. I don't know what it was. And the same happened to Kristen Paff, the bass player of Hole. She decided she was done with Kearney. She was done with Hole. She was heartbroken about Kurt Cobain. Some people believe Kristen and Kurt had a thing. I'm not surprised if they did, because Kurt Cobain said once in public that Kristen was one of the most beautiful girls he had met, or something along those lines. And if you know Kearney Love, you know she wouldn't like that, of course. And of course, she's too chic and shit to do it herself. She always hires the people to do things for her. So she has contacts, connections, I believe, with mafia, drug dealers. Also, she has had friends of her do those things to those people. Kirsten Paff, for example, people last saw Eric Erlandson visiting her the day before or the night before she died. And apparently he convinced her of having her last dose of heroin. She was sober at the time. I believe she had over 3 months of sober life. And he provided a hot shot for her to pass away. The way that they killed Eldon Hawke, El Duce, it was apparently they got him really drunk and really incapacitated. I believe drugs as well. And listen to this. He was apparently knocked out, or I don't know if he was stabbed or shot first. And he was laid down in the railroad lines outside Seattle. I don't know in which part exactly of the city, but he was decapitated by a train. So, you know, really shitty things happen to people that are speaking ill of Courtney Love or are planning on bailing on her. Nobody leaves Courtney. Courtney leaves you. If you want to know more about Courtney, there's plenty to dig out. For example, she was caught with her hands in the cookie jar with this Epstein thing because she said that she had never met Prince Andrew before a picture of him visiting at her house came out. And later on, people dug out a picture of 6 months before, or I believe it was even 1 year before that, in which she's actually introducing a young woman to Prince Andrew in California. I believe it was in around Hollywood or Los Angeles. So they met before that. The story that she tells on why Prince Andrew came to knock on her door around midnight or 1 a.m. or she says that she has no idea who gave him her address. Of course, most likely it was Jeffrey Epstein himself, or they already met and she gave him her address before. In that picture that came out, they can be seen holding a teapot, and I don't think they were drinking tea at 1 a.m. I don't think that if they did, they would be taking a picture like that. I think that was a promotional picture for Courtney Love's side business as an adrenochrome dealer. And Prince Andrew wasn't there for a booty call, like Courtney Love says. I doubt Prince Andrew likes women as old as Courtney. And I doubt Prince Andrew is going to risk an STD with someone like Courtney, or even worse, blackmail that he already suffered at the hands of Epstein. And I say suffered without any, you know, compassion for the guy. I despise him. I think he was desperate for his fix and had to resort to look for Courtney that day or that night because it was pretty late at night. So no, it wasn't a booty call. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't the first time. It was a lie. Like everything that Courtney says is pretty much lies. So there's a lot you can find out about Courtney if you do your research. I didn't plan on talking about her this much, but, you know, she's also on the list of the people that went to Venezuela to Ghislaine Maxwell's compound at La Isla de la Orchila in Venezuela, which is a military private island that has a Russian base in it. And Ghislaine had a compound where they threw parties, trafficked children, there were drugs. People like Sean Penn, Naomi Campbell, Don Cheadle, Bill Clinton, my guess is others like maybe Jared Leto, Bono, Oliver Stone. I saw him in Venezuela as well around that time. Who knows about Marina Abramovich? Most likely her as well. Who knows about Michael Stipe? But there's a lot of people confirmed in Venezuela around that time by Sean Penn and others. Apparently, Sean Penn spoke about it last year. The person that published that story is dead. It was a gunshot wound. He died by a gunshot wound. But, you know, classified as a suicide like many. So I have my doubts about that. Next on the list is Dan Schneider, the American television producer, screenwriter, and actor. Mostly devoted himself to behind-the-scenes work in production for Nickelodeon. In 2013, actress Amanda Bynes posted a series of tweets accusing Schneider of molesting her as a child. This was in the midst of her widely publicized meltdown. Therefore, the general public quickly dismissed Bynes' accusations. When, sadly, the grooming process that you can see on videos that have been published for the public is obvious. It's obvious this guy is a predator. It's obvious this guy is after this little girls. It's despicable. Apart from the moans and groans and oral sex double words and masturbation innuendos, the largest common denominator of the crude jokes is feet. In almost every one of his Schneider's projects, he has found a way to incorporate bird feet into at least one scene. The general consensus is that Schneider has a foot fetish. Just like reminds me of Quentin Tarantino, who also has that tendency. In 2013, he posted a tweet inviting fans of his show, Sam and Cat, to tweet him pictures of their feet as part of a promotional campaign. In 2014, actress Jeanette McCurdy posted a bizarre clip on Vine, which she has covered in what appears to be garbage, with a smeared makeup and hair disheveled. In the 6-second clip, McCurdy addresses Schneider saying, quote, "I know you're watching me Vine. I know you're watching my Vine. Look what you have done to me. Look what you have done to me." Quote. That same year, she also shared the 6-second clip in which she displays multiple bruises. Many viewers gathered that these bruises were likely given to her by Schneider. The capitalized letters in the first paragraph earlier this year, I believe it was, Amanda Bynes published a letter in which she references Schneider. This blind was published by Crazy Days and Nights by Anti-Lawyer, and it says, blind item number 13, her words. Last night, after the news broke about a certain producer and actress all of you know, who knows the producer as well as anyone, sent me this. Quote, "Thank you for all of your ongoing support. I don't know how any of these men sleep at night, but if there's one thing that I do know is that what's done in the dark always comes to light. XOXO. Sorry, I thought it was clever. Unfortunately, I will obviously not be making any comment whatsoever for obvious reasons, and unfortunately, I feel as thought the only way that legitimate stories can make the headlines regarding blank space is if others publicly speak on his behavior. Blank space was truly like a second father to me, but things change. After the second incident, I don't know if I will ever be able to have children or have the family of my dreams. People have been picking this cap for years, and I just won't be the one who finally rips it off." Quote. So that's confirmed to be Amanda Bynes. Apparently, Anti knows Amanda. He has said so on his podcast. It's a good podcast if you want to listen. Problem with the Anti podcast is that he publishes everything. So some information, the one he gives directly, seems to be really legit, really good. But some of the information he prints that he receives is not vetted or accordingly or properly verified. But anyway, I think this one is really legit. I think the evidence is there for everyone to see. So apparently, Amanda Bynes was pregnant with the child of Dan Schneider twice. Not once, but twice. And she must have been forced to have an abortion twice. Or I don't know. I don't know if she miscarried. I don't really know the details. I know she was crushed by it. I know she was having terrible addiction problems, paranoia, depression, probably some bipolar disorder worsened by the use of coke, which is especially dangerous when you have a mental illness, of course. Doesn't mean that she was lying. People tend to think that because someone has an addiction or someone made a mistake in their past that they can be discredited. That's not the way it works. That's called a hominem attack, and that's not the way you carry on with a discussion, especially on such an important subject. Who knows if Ariana Grande was abused by this guy as well? Hilary Duff, who was also with Nickelodeon, and who knows who else? There's a rumor that Dan Schneider is the father of the baby whose mother is Jamie Lynn Spears. But there's also rumor that it's someone even bigger in that company. The only thing that is certain is that Dan did abuse Jamie. At some point, he abused Jamie Lynn. He has a very extensive and bad record with working with children. And he worked for Nickelodeon from around 1994 to 2018. On March 26, 2018, Nickelodeon announced that it would not be extending its production deal with Schneider and Schneider's Bakery. In addition, the network also announced that the Schneider's comedy, Game Shakers, would not be renewed for a fourth season. However, as Schneider's remaining Nickelodeon comedy, Henry Danger, will be receiving a fifth season. Deadline Hollywood, the first to report about Nickelodeon parting ways with Schneider, also reported that there were complaints about Schneider's alleged behavior, including his alleged well-documented temper issues for years and his tweets showing photos of his young actress's feet. Nickelodeon did not respond to Deadline's report, and Schneider's representative refused to comment on the report. So, you know, he was involved in shows like Kenan and Kel, The Amanda Show, What I Like About You, Drake and Josh, Soy 101, iCarly, Victorious, and, you know, the already mentioned Sam and Cat, Henry Danger, Game Shakers, All That, Guys Like Us, etc. And the guy is free to enjoy his $20 million, which is his estimated net worth. Very sick individual. You Google his pictures with the little actresses he used to direct. It's cringy. I haven't seen anything more cringy. Horrible. Horrible. The guy is disgusting. Next on the list, of course, is a billionaire and known Republican donor, philanthropist, political activist, chemical engineer, and businessman David Koch, who died last year, 2019. He was the fourth richest person in the U.S. in 2012 and was the wealthiest resident of New York City in 2013. Koch Industries, the second largest privately owned company in the United States, with 2017 revenues of $100 billion, is involved in oil. And who knows, maybe his brother was also present at Jeffrey Epstein's island. I don't see his name on the fly logs, but, you know, these guys, they had their own planes, they had their own jets. You can go to the island BSC and not be recorded in the fly logs. So, you know, this is not a partisan issue. This is a good versus evil issue. I don't care if you're Republican, if you're Democrat. Next on the list, we have Jarbo, David Jarbeski. He's the director and editor known for Brightburn, the movie from 2019. Guardians of the Galaxy in 2014, and The Hive the same year. He has known Peter Gunn for 23 years. Peter Gunn was the director of Guardians of the Galaxy. I believe it was the second part. I'm not sure. I'm not really a fan. But Peter Gunn is infamous for having deleted, you know, thousands of pedophile tweets, just like others did, like Chrissy Teigen and, I guess, Marina Abramovich and others. This is the famous Jarbo mentioned by Isaac Cappy. If you look at his pictures with his friends, his close entourage, you can find wedding parties in which dildos and pentagrams are all over the place, in the walls, the furniture. Next on the list, actress Demi Moore. She's also a film producer, married to Bruce Willis and Ashton Kutcher. She is a very troubled individual. First of all, I don't know anything about Bruce Willis, but, you know, he's really big, so who knows? I do know that Ashton Kutcher and his Project Torn are a sham. He made a speech, you know, pretend to be an abolitionist, a fighter against human trafficking. He couldn't be more of the opposite. He's a killer. He's a pedophile. He's a Freemason. He was actually guilty of murdering his girlfriend back in 2001, before he was even that famous, and he was let out by the cops. You know, there's a lot of Freemasons in the police, and they protect their own. It's in their oaths. They will never go after their own. They actually have to swear that they can be killed by their brothers if they betray a brother. So that's how the Freemasons handle their business. Demi was married to this guy, knowing what he was. And, you know, she likes them young. I believe Ashton was like 20 years younger than her or something crazy like that. And she was almost 20 years old when she made out in camera with her General Hospital co-star, Philip Tanzini, when he was celebrating his 15th birthday. She didn't just kiss him, it was a full-on making out with the kid, you know. The kid seems, he's drunk, she seems drunk as well. Demi has a history of cocaine addiction, I don't know if she was coked up here as well. She clearly, I don't know, it has a creepy sexual connotation. And I'm going to be honest as well. You know, it doesn't have to be normal because it's a boy. It's not appropriate. And if people can avoid that kind of thing, it's probably for the best. Also, when I was 16, there was a 27-year-old woman. And, you know, the same kind of situation. She was a lawyer, a Mexican lawyer. And I was at this beach with my parents and my best friend. And, you know, but that time, I believe my best friend and myself used to camp outside the premises because we were like, you know, partying and being wild boys. I was really wild. From 16 years old to 27, I was a mess. And I've been public about it. Everyone has a past, and that's how I open my mind to all of this as well, by kind of breaking down the programming and, I guess, trying to understand a lot of things I've seen and I've experienced myself. So this Mexican lawyer gave us booze, marijuana, and pizza. And yeah, I know the pizza reference is gonna make you think twice, but yeah, that's not appropriate. And especially someone that is supposed to be enforcing the law, you know, or, you know, it's ironic. Next on the list, there's Doug Bandt, American businessman and lawyer and founding partner and president of Tenio, a multinational C-suite advisory firm and investment bank. Previously, he was deputy assistant to President Bill Clinton in the White House. So there you go, another Clinton guy. Ed Tuttle, who passed away this year. He was a Seattle-based architect and had undertaken many residential projects, hotels that made up the majority of his projects. He most likely designed the houses for Epstein. He also was featured as the main architect working for the Amman Resorts, which are linked to Vladislav Doronin, the Russian billionaire, who was the former boyfriend of Naomi Campbell, another procurer for Jeffrey Epstein. So you see, Naomi Campbell dated all of these pedophiles. Vladislav Doronin, Bill Clinton, Andre Vallas, the guy from the Standard Hotels. She dated Sean Penn. She dated David Bowie. You know, sadly, I love David Bowie, but he was also kind of a pedophile. However you want to slice it, I don't think it was ever appropriate for a 15-year-old to be raped by a 25-year-old or a 30-year-old. People say it was the 70s. I don't think so. I never thought it was okay. Not even when I was 20, and I'm talking about 13 years ago, I thought it was okay to sleep with my then 17-year-old girlfriend. In fact, we never slept together. I mean, she turned 18 and we broke up soon after. And it wasn't an interest of mine, like other men have, to be her first or anything sick like that. You know, it's bullshit. My personal opinion. So these resorts are in Thailand, China, Dominican Republic, Greece, Turkey, Vietnam, Sri Lanka, India, Cambodia, Indonesia, the Philippines. In addition, George Clooney's wedding, it was celebrated in the Amman Canal Grande in Italy. So there you go. All these pedophiles hanging out together, you know, dating the same people, going to the same hotels. And that list of countries in which this hotel is located, these are hotbeds for human trafficking, child sex trafficking especially. Hotbeds. Terrible hotbeds. All of them. Next on the list, we have Ehud Barak, the Israeli general and politician who served as the 10th prime minister from 1999 to 2001. He was leader of the Labour Party until January 2011. Ehud Barak hits back as UK paper ties him to Jeffrey Epstein and threatens lawsuit. The former prime minister and IDF chief dismisses claims that he was hiding his identity as the Daily Mail publishes old pictures of him outside the Jeffrey Epstein manor in Manhattan. Barak's lawyers demanded that the British newspaper apologizes for publishing the images and linking Barak to Epstein's alleged crimes. and threatened to sue the organization. The former prime minister uploaded a picture on his Twitter with the legend guilty and said, quote, "When it's cold, I tend to cover my face. Not just in New York, but anywhere in the world. I never thought that it was news. Stay tuned to the reveal of my scarf collection." He also uploaded a picture of the Daily Mail's headline that read, "Married former Prime Minister Ehud Barak is seen hiding his face in entering Jeffrey Epstein's NYC townhouse, as BB of Young Beauties also spotted going in despite his claim he never socialized with the pedophile and his girls." Barak told the Daily Beast that he had been introduced to Epstein by late Israeli statesman Shimon Peres. Quote, "The man who introduced me to Epstein about 70 years ago was Shimon Peres," Barak told the website. He said the initial encounter took place during an event at which, quote, "there were many famous and important people, including, if I recall, both Clintons and hundreds of others," quote. That's one of the names that I believe Virginia Roberts is terrified of admitting she was abused by. Apparently, she was abused by this guy, and he has threatened her with her life, or even worse, her kids. She has kids. So that's an additional concern. She's very brave by doing what she's doing. That woman has been the front face for this case, and she has done wonders with it. She's well-spoken, she's smart, she's witty, she's gracious, despite everything she's been put through. She's one of the best witnesses you can ask for. So let's hope the Ghislaine Maxwell case goes to court properly, nothing happens, no weird incidents, no more suicides, no more Clinton body counts. Next on the list, there's a woman called Ellen Spencer that many think it's Ellen DeGeneres. And we already know Ellen DeGeneres is another adrenochrome sick puppy addict. She has done numerous catchy segments in her program involving pedophilia. Her set is a doppelganger for Jeffrey Epstein's island. You know, you cannot say for sure, but, you know, I think that's what they all did when Jeffrey Epstein was disgraced and his island was under surveillance. People had to resort to receiving the packages at their places. And I say packages, I mean children. And I believe that's what Chris Cornell and others were about to uncover. There was a list of people receiving trafficked children. She's now canceled her show because a number of complaints have been made public. This was all news for those of us who knew about her. We knew that she was despicable with people in general since probably 1 year, 2 years ago. It's not hard to notice if you really pay attention. I always dislike her. I've never watched Ellen, not even when Chris Cornell played there. I mean, I've watched the performance now because it's only the performance, it's not the whole show. But I'll never watch it, and I never will. Then you have Emmy Tyler on the list, an actress that was born in Oxford, England, is the second British woman on the list. She's reported as the assistant to Ghislaine Maxwell, so she's another facilitator. Epstein prosecutors are seeking to talk to her about the case. Tyler is believed to have arrived to the States in the late 90s with the hopes of becoming a model or an actress. After meeting Maxwell in New York, she was brought to Florida to work for Maxwell and Epstein. One of Epstein's alleged victims, Joanna Schauberg, testified that she was recruited by Maxwell while attending Palm Beach Atlantic University in 2001 and had met Tyler at Epstein's Florida mansion. Quote, "At that point, I met Emmy Taylor, and she took me up to Jeffrey's bathroom, and he was present. Quote, and her and I both massaged Jeffrey. She was showing me how to massage." Quote. Schauberg alleged that Tyler then took off her clothes, got on the massage table, and began showing her how to do moves that he liked. Schauberg also said that Maxwell referred to Tyler as her slave. Next on the list is Freya Wiesing, who attended Sandringham High School in Johannesburg. Thereafter graduated in advertising, specializing in art direction, followed by a postgraduate in fine arts at the Langeland Kunsthall in Denmark. She has traveled extensively over the past 10 years, absorbing the culture, language, art, and music of the peoples of over 60 countries. Freya has worked in private collections in Los Angeles, New York, Denmark, Florida, Germany, Australia, and South Africa.
This according to her website. What's her involvement with Jeffrey Epstein? She was probably an art consultant. You know, she was probably involved in those portraits painted about Bill, portraits about Bill Clinton and George Bush, and who knows what others have not been made public. Next on the list is Gary Roxburgh. He was one of the pilots for the Lolita Express. According to aviation sales team, the team at Jet Transactions, which he works for, he has extensive professional experience in private and business aircraft acquisitions, marketing, and consulting. The New Jersey's Teterboro Airport was a travel hub of Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking ring, and Jeffrey Epstein's planes recorded at least 730 flights to and from Teterboro Airport in New Jersey between 1985 and 2013, according to FlightLogs. On most of these flights, Gary Roxburgh was involved in. So, you know, he's one of the pilots. You can argue they probably didn't abuse any children, but they knew what was going on, and they were getting paid really well for it. So, blood money. Next on the list is Greg Hulbert, who I don't have any intel on. I don't have any clue who he is, what he did, why he's there, if he's an alias. Most likely, because we're looking for relevant people, or at least someone in the list of employees of Epstein and Maxwell, and he's not found. So if you know who this guy is or what he did, let me know. Gwen Stefani also went to the island. She's on the flight logs. The American singer, songwriter, actress, and record producer is the co-founder and the lead vocalist of the band No Doubt. Then she went solo. She married Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush, which, you know, I like a lot of songs written by Rossdale and company. Bush is a pretty decent band, actually. I don't know how much Gavin Rossdale is involved in this, but, you know, he has some shady past in the way that he handled things back when he was with the band in the early 90s. He always ran away from the fact that he used to be a drag queen. He used to be a drag boy. His very public relationship before the band Bush was with another man who was also a drag queen. And, you know, it's, I don't have anything against it. The thing that I don't like is hypocrisy. And I understand it was a different time back then, but, you know, he wanted to portray this alpha male, British hotrod, to attract all kinds of audience to the band. And he, in my opinion, denied his own self and his past to be famous. So, I mean, that's kind of the concept of selling out, isn't it? Just because he was hiding from something that shouldn't be shameful, like being gay, doesn't mean that he didn't sell out, precisely, in my opinion. For Gwen Stefani, man, I love her music. I love especially her work with No Doubt, the albums Tragic Kingdom and Return of Saturn. I believe it was the other album. Interesting title for an album, right? Saturn is kind of the god, the satanic god with the black cube, Kronos, the god of time, the god that eats its own children. But songs like Simple Kind of Life, obviously Don't Speak is a great hit. Hella Good, I like that. Ex-Girlfriend is a good song. She has a very good song for the soundtrack of Go, which is a fun movie. You can watch it. It's with Katie Holmes and other guys from the 90s, late 90s. The single soundtrack for that movie is called New. It's a very good song. Oh, and you can also see Gwen Stefani all giggly at a Marina Abramovich fake carnival dinner. A lot of you have seen those pictures. Pamela Anderson is there. Will Ferrell is there. Lots of people that shouldn't be there. Debbie Harry from Blondie there as well. Actually, one of the hosts. But anyway, you know, I managed to separate the artist from the art. So I'm not going to run away from music that means a lot to me, that marked my life, that reminds me pieces of my childhood and my youth, because The memories of my past are really precious to me. You know, I'm a very sentimental, melancholic guy when it comes to that. I'm not gonna let this sick fox ruin that. I decide to move forward. Next on the list is Wendell Limbeck, a 2014 candidate seeking to represent the 8th Congressional District of Virginia. She handled $65 million of Epstein's money in the 90s while she worked at Morgan Stanley. Interesting. However, remember that Wendell Limbeck was denounced as an actual abuser by Virginia Roberts, as mentioned a few numbers ago. She flew on the Lolita Express several times and was photographed partying with Jeffrey Epstein and his friend Prince Andrew. She was pictured at Mar-a-Lago with none other than Jeffrey Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, and Deborah Blum. Quote, "I did call every billionaire I know to ask for campaign funds, and Mr. Epstein sent the donations. I haven't spoken with him personally in years. During my years at Morgan Stanley, which started in 1985, I managed a portion of his investment funds, which were about $65 million, and I knew him personally. While the press has tagged him a man of mystery because they can't explain how he made his money, it's mostly a combination of real estate and complex derivatives," Beck said via email, responding to the allegations that she is linked to the pedophile. "As far as I'm concerned, that's damage control and no other explanation than that. She has to defend herself in this case because she managed his money. So if his money is dirty, she was by default managing dirty money. Whether she did that without notion it was dirty money, who knows? If someone can prove that. But still, she has been denounced as an abuser. She's one of the ladies that facilitated this pedophile's abuse of other girls." Next on the list is Hank Coller, another pilot on the Lolita Express. Not much can be said about him. Not much intel either. He appears to be a simple pilot. Then we have a mystery woman called Heather Mann, who took two flights on April 3rd, 2001 with Epstein and Lydia. Took off from Teterboro Airport in New Jersey to Montgomery County Air Park in Maryland and back. This was one flight only. I think, you know what? I think this was an alias for mystery victim Kim Burns. I believe she appeared on the Palm Beach documents as Jane Doe number 12 or something like that. The truth is that she's photographed on September 7 in 2005 in New York City with Epstein when she attended Imperia US launch party at the Statue of Liberty with a young woman. She wasn't underage at this point. She's now married and I think she has children. She didn't want to come forward because obviously it will affect her whole personal life and you can understand that. But I think this is the woman that the flight logs describe as Heather Mann. To close the day, we're going to talk about Glenn Dovin, the principal of Dovin and Company, a private investment company managing a portfolio of operating businesses and other investments. His net worth was $2 billion in December 2019. I bet it's more now. Let me check. Just for curiosity, just for kicks, let's check if this guy got richer because of COVID. Still says $2 billion. Funny. The names I see below him are Lex Wexner with 4.8 billion and Ronald Burkle with 1.4 million. Burkle is, of course, involved with the Cornell case, and I'm gonna expand on that later. Glenn Dovin. He's a pedophile and should be arrested for raping at least two girls that were sex trafficked by Epstein. Glenn and Eva Dovin had a very close relationship with Epstein before and after his 2009 conviction. After a four-hour massage arranged by Epstein, Glenn Dovin raped 17-year-old Virginia Roberts with his wife and kids in the room next door. Dovin's former butler met a terrified 15-year-old girl in Dovin's house, who was being sex trafficked by Epstein and Maxwell in 2005. Eva, Glenn, and their two young kids took at least seven trips on Epstein's plane from 1997 to 2004. Eva vouched for Epstein to his probation officer, saying she was 100% comfortable with him around their kids. The wife, Eva Dobin, had Thanksgiving with Epstein in 2010 and also partied with Maxwell in 2007. Glenn Dubin co-founded Highbridge Capital in 1992, which was eventually sold to J.P. Morgan in 2004. Epstein earned $50 million for brokering the deal. Dubin netted nearly $1 billion. Since leaving Highbridge in 2013, Dubin focused on his other firms, Castleton, Engineers Gate, and the Robinhood Foundation. Robinhood Foundation was co-founded by Dubin in 1988, and is now one of the biggest charities in the U.S. The board members have included Blankfein, Tom Brokaw, Daniel Brokaw, Harvey Weinstein, and Gwyneth Paltrow. Dubin donated $5 million to Harvard in 2010 and was a member of Harvard's oldest social club, Hasty Pudding Club, along with Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, and others. Glenn Dubin frequently donated to Democratic politicians including Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Bill Richardson, Chuck Schumer, Kirsten Gillibrand, and many others. Relatively small donations, but still notable. Within 2 days, in April 2019, Glenn Dubin joined the board of directors of two separate biotech companies specializing in drug delivery to targeted molecules. You can check his LinkedIn for all the companies he's involved in. Glenn Dubin is also on the board of trustees of the Museum of Modern Art, which is currently chaired by another close friend of Epstein, Leon Black. Dubin's company Castleton Commodities hired Peter Sellers in 2015, who was global head of J.P. Morgan's metals department from 2009 to 2012. Several J.P. Morgan employees were recently indicted for manipulating the price of precious metals from 2008 to 2016. So there you go. We advanced the list a little bit today again. And I think I'll see you with part 3 tomorrow. And for part 4 on Sunday, I'll probably do something else or perhaps upload part 3. Who knows? Let's see how it goes tomorrow. And, you know, I gotta thank you, all of you subscribers, for making my life easier right now. Take care. Goodbye.